Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Science. Now, I am going to record the first poem of John Milton, Lycidas. First of all, summary of the poem. In the poem Lycidas, the poet John Milton presents a very vivid and organic picture of his friend King Edward, who was drowned when his ship was wrecked on crossing to Ireland in 1637. The poem is known as a pastoral elegy, in which the poet speaks as if he were a shepherd lamenting the loss of a fellow shepherd. In the beginning, the poet says that he is not yet ripe for writing good poetry, but he has to write because of his great loss of his friend, Edward King, died, and it is his duty to pay the poetic tribute to his dead friend. So he prays to the muses to help him in the composition of his elegy. Incidentally, he thinks of his own death and hopes that some future poet might sing of him after his death. The poet then again remembers the days spent in the company of Edward King at Cambridge, and he describes how they studied, how they played, and how they enjoyed sport and song. Milton laments for the great loss, the great change that has come about after the death of his friend, unbearable to the poet. Even nature laments at the loss. He further writes, "The nymphs are taken to task for having strayed away from their usual haunts when Lycidas dies." Then he remembers that he could not have saved him. The poet gives a classical example and says that Calliope, the muse of epic poetry, herself could not save her son Orpheus when he was killed by the Thracian women. Then again he thinks that the death of Lycidas makes the poet feel that the pursuit of poetic fame is mere vanity. When one thinks of bursting out into glory, comes death. But Apollo tells the poet in a whisper that true fame does not belong to this world. It is to be had only in heaven and fully depends on God's judgment. Further, the poet inquires into the cause of Lycidas' death. Finally, the death is attributed to the dreadful ship in which he set sail from Chester. Milton further thinks in metaphysical style and writes the spirit of the river Cam and of Cambridge University comes to mourn the death of Lycidas. Saint Peter, the guardian of the church, solemnizes Lycidas as a true son. Then Milton rebukes the clergyman of the church. He winds up a terrible prophecy that the day of retribution is very near and that the grim two-handed engine will strike and destroy them utterly. Then again Milton bids all fair flowers to come in their amazing beauty and color to be strewn over the laureate hairs of Lycidas. Lastly, elegy ends on a note of triumph that Lycidas is not dead but reached the highest heaven of joy and bliss. He is happy in the presence of God. He will also be the guardian spirit of that part of the sea where he was drowned, and will warn others who might wander in the dreadful flood. The poet ends his elegy with a hope that he will proceed a fresh woods and pastures new. Hindi Sharans. प्रस्तुत कविता लिसिडस के अंतर्गत कवि जॉन मिल्टन अपने मित्र एडवर्ड किंग के बारे में बड़े ही सजीवता एवं मर्मज्ञता के साथ प्रस्तुत करता है, जिसका जहाज आयरलैंड जाते समय टूटकर बिखर गया और वह डूबकर मर गया। यह घटना सन 1637 की है। प्रस्तुत कविता पेस्टोरल एलेजी है, जिसमें कवि एक गडेरिया बनकर दुख प्रकट करता है, जिसमें उसका गडेरिया मित्र मर गया है। कविता के प्रारंभ में कवि कहता है कि अभी वह अच्छी कविता लिखने में अपरिपक्व है, किंतु उसे लिखना पड़ता है क्योंकि उसके मित्र के रूप में उसका निजी बड़ा नुकसान हुआ है। उसका मित्र एडवर्ड किंग, और वह यह उसका कर्तव्य है कि वह उसके प्रति कविता लिखकर अपनी कृतज्ञता व्यक्त करे। अतः वह कविता की देवी से प्रार्थना करता है कि वह उसे एलेजी लिखने में सहायता प्रदान करे। वह अपने मृत्यु के बारे में सोचता है और आशा व्यक्त करता है कि उसकी मृत्यु पर भी कोई कवि भविष्य में उसके बारे में भी एलेजी लिखेगा। कवि आगे लिखता है, वह उसके बारे में याद करता है कि एडवर्ड किंग के साथ कैसे रहता है। वह जब कैम्ब्रिज यूनिवर्सिटी में था तो वह वर्णन करता है कि वे कैसे पढ़ते थे, वे कैसे खेलते थे, वे कैसे स्पोर्ट करते थे, वे कैसे गाते थे। मिल्टन अपने महान हानि के लिए विलाप करता है। अपने मित्र की मृत्यु में उसमें भारी परिवर्तन आया जो कवि को असहनीय है, यहाँ तक कि प्रकृति भी दुखी है। वह आगे लिखता है, प्रकृति रूपी निम्फ भी अपना दुख प्रकट करती हुई प्रतीत होती है। लिसिडस की मृत्यु पर तब वह याद करता है कि वे भी उसे नहीं बचा सके। कवि एक क्लासिकल उदाहरण प्रस्तुत करता है, कैलियाक जो महाकाव्य की देवी हैं, वह भी अपने पुत्र आरफाय को न बचा सकी। जब वह थ्रोशियन महिला के द्वारा मारा गया था, तब कवि यह विचार करता है कि कवित्व शक्ति बेकार है, जबकि वह एक महानता के बारे में विचार करता है। दूसरी ओर मृत्यु अपना कार्य करती है, किंतु अपोलो उसे धीरे से बताता है कि सुख यह इस संसार में नहीं है, यह मात्र स्वर्ग में ही प्राप्त हो सकता है, जो पूर्णतया ईश्वर के न्याय पर निर्भर करता है। आगे कवि लिसिडस की मृत्यु पर विचार करता है। अंत में वह उस जहाज के डूबने पर सोचता है जिस पर वह चेस्टर में सवार हुआ था। मिल्टन आगे रहस्यात्मक ढंग से विचार करता है और वह कैम नदी तथा कैम्ब्रिज विश्वविद्यालय के बारे में सोचता है कि वे लिसिडस की मृत्यु पर दुखी हैं। सेंट पीटर्स जो चर्च के अभिभावक के तुल्य हैं, वे भी लिसिडस की मृत्यु पर दुखी हैं, क्योंकि लिसिडस उनका सच्चा पुत्र है। तब मिल्टन चर्च के मेहनत पर क्रोधित होता है। उसने सही ढंग से प्रार्थना नहीं की। वह दो हाथों वाले इंजन के लिए जो उसे पूर्णतया नष्ट कर दिया। तत्पश्चात मिल्टन उन समस्त पुष्पों के बारे में सोचता है जो विशेष सुंदरता एवं रंगों से आवृत हैं। अंततः एलेजी एक आशा के साथ समाप्त होता है कि लिसिडस कोई समाप्त होने वाला पौधा नहीं है, जो सर्वोच्च स्थान स्वर्ग में आनंदित है। वह ईश्वर के साथ प्रसन्न है। वह भी अब अभिभावक बन गया है। जिस सागर में वह डूबा था तथा उन्हें चेतावनी देता है जो उस भयंकर सागरीय तूफान की ओर जाते हैं, कवि एलेजी को एक आशा और विश्वास के साथ समाप्त करता है कि वह एक प्रकृति की रचना करेगा। नाउ लिसिडस एज ए पेस्टोरल एलेजी। द पोएम लिसिडस हैज बीन राइटली रिगार्डेड एज वन ऑफ द रिमार्केबल एलेजीज इन इंग्लिश लिटरेचर। इट इज नो डाउट ए पेस्टोरल एलेजी विच हैज एवर बीन रिटन बाई वन ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट पोएट जॉन मिल्टन। द टर्म पेस्टोरल हैज डीपर सेंस। ड्यूरिंग द रेनेसा ए न्यू काइंड ऑफ एलेजी वॉज इंट्रोड्यूस्ड इन टू इंग्लिश पोएट्री। इट फॉलोड ए कन्वेंशन बाई विच द पोएट रिप्रेजेंटेड हिमसेल्फ एज ए शेफर्ड बिवेलिंग द लॉस ऑफ ए फ्रेंड। द पेस्टोरल इज ए लिटररी वर्क विच अंडर द गाइज ऑफ ए रस्टिक ऑथर यूजिंग शेफर्ड्स एज कैरेक्टर एंड आइडियलिक रूरल लाइफ एज ए सेटिंग एक्चुअली प्रेजेंट्स ए क्लेवर सोफिस्टिकेटेड पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू। The elegy is today a mournful lyric whose theme is death. In the poem Lycidas, John Milton paid a great tribute to his bosom friend, Edward King. He chose the very name of Edward King as Lycidas, which he borrowed from Theocritus and Virgil. These two great poets of Greek had already chosen the name Lycidas as a shepherd in their poetry. So Milton too gave the name Lycidas to his friend as a shepherd. In a pastoral elegy, it is considered that the prayer of the Muses is necessary. Even Virgil had prayed, saying that it was his last labor, while Milton prays Muses to say that he is not fully competent poet. It is his first attempt to write an elegy, so he prays to the Muses to supply him with the divine power so that he may succeed in writing the elegy for his friend Edward King. He writes his first two lines as follows: "Yet once more, O ye laurels, and once more, ye myrtles brown with ivy never sear." Milton fulfills the convention and pays his great tribute to the Muses, as it is believed that they are sisters of sacred will, for they dwell by the side of the fountain Aganippe in Mount Helicon. Milton also thinks that he, along with his friend Edward King, passed his life on that mountain. This mountain is their university. Thus, Milton followed the convention of Theocritus and Virgil. In most of the pastoral elegies, powers like mountain and rivers plays a very vital role. Here in Lycidas, Milton also asks why they have not taken any great attention to save their child. Slighted shepherd trait is a pastoral image. Amaryllis and Nera are frequently found in pastoral poetry. He also prays to Arethusa. It is also very common that in a pastoral elegy, nature and every common natural sight plays a great role. If we look at the poem Lycidas from the beginning to the end, we find that there is a sense of great emotion. Milton feels pain through and through. He accepts all the nooks and norms, rules and regulations of the pastoral elegy. Lastly, it is also very common in a pastoral elegy that at the end the poet consoles. Here, Milton also consoles that Lycidas is not dead, but he has reached the highest heaven of joy and bliss, where he is happy in the presence of God. As he writes in the last two lines, "At last he rose and twisted his mantle blue, tomorrow to fresh woods and pastures new." Here, the poet hopes for new pastures, become old shepherd, has gone away forever. Now, critical appreciation of poem Lycidas. Introduction. The poem Lycidas was written by John Milton in the memory of college friend King Edward, who was drowned when his ship was wrecked on crossing to Ireland in 1637. The poem is known as Pastoral Elegy, in which the poet speaks as if he were a shepherd lamenting the loss of fellow shepherd. Milton weaves into the design of the poem not only pastoral scenes, but mythology, Christian belief, and contemporary controversy within the church in England. Aim, object, theme, thought, and philosophy of the poet. The ship was wrecked and Milton's bosom friend Edward King was drowned in the sea. He died untimely in 1637. Edward King was Milton's college friend. Both were the students of Cambridge University and got the degree of MA at the same time. Milton thought it was his great personal loss. He was deeply moved by his friend's death, so he decided to pay a great tribute to him to write a poem. Milton was young and his poetic career had been started. In such a situation, he had many examples before him. He was a university student and had a deep knowledge of Latin. In the classical age, there were many pastoral elegies by Theocritus and Virgil. He had already read them, so he also decided to write a pastoral elegy on the death of his young friend Edward King. Though Dr. Johnson criticized Milton that he should not have written a pastoral elegy, but he should have composed a dirge. But Milton was a man of letters. He wanted to give his friend a classical touch. As Edward King was a scholar and he wanted to pay a classical tribute to him, so he decided to write a pastoral elegy. The aim and object of Milton was only to pay a great tribute to Edward King, and by a pastoral elegy he did so. As he was a Puritan, so he also wanted to condemn the false action of the church of those days. Through the poem Lycidas, and he did that. He rebuked the clergy man of the church that he did not perform his duty well, so the ship was wrecked. The theme and thought of the poem are very clear. The poet wanted to present how great Edward King was. Even nature weeps over his death. It was the chance who played a vital role in his death. The philosophy of the poet is very effective, and he writes, "Weep no more, woeful shepherd, weep no more, for Lycidas, your sorrow is not dead." Lastly, he advocated the immortality of the soul. He says that Lycidas is not dead, but he had reached the highest heaven of joy and bliss, where he is happy in the presence of God. Lycidas has reached in heaven, though he was drowned in the waters with the help of Christ, who once walked over the waters. He has gone to heaven, where he washes his locks covered with oars of pure nectar. There, in the abode of the humble, he hears the marriage song of indescribable beauty and melody. Thus, Lycidas is now in heaven in the lap of Lord, so he need not worry for him. Style, diction, figure, art and rhyme of the poem. In the poem Lycidas, Milton uses a new style of Theocritus or Virgil, but presents a style of his own. There are many critics who criticize Milton for clumsy style, but Milton thinks that he does not write for the common readers. His style is for learned man and scholar. Thus, in the style of the poem, he follows no poetic rule but his own. As one critic has said, the only rule that of the poet's exquisite ear liked. So far as the diction of the poem is concerned, he wrote to teach. As a scholar for scholars, he chooses and selects the right word for the right place. His language is not common, but highly sophisticated. Many mythological terminologies have been used. Many classical and medieval instances have been presented. Every word wants a good dealing. For example, Amaryllis and Nera. Phoebus, Apollo, Hippolytus, Panepo, Camus, etc. So the diction is no doubt very high and wants a special annotation. Milton is the master of simile and metaphor. He uses them in Lycidas too. So far as art and rhyming are concerned, they are fully new. The poem is written in blank verse. Thus, the poem Lycidas is great for its thought and effect, for its art. It is an immortal pastoral elegy in English literature. Now, the explanation of the stanza with reference to the context. The first stanza of the poem. Yet once more, O ye laurels, and once more, ye myrtles brown with ivy never sear, I come to pluck your berries, harsh and crude, and with forced fingers rude, shatter your leaves before the mellowing ear, bitter constraint and sad occasion, dear. Compels me to disturb your season due, for Lycidas is dead, dead ere his prime, young Lycidas, and hath not left his peer. Who would not sing for Lycidas? He knew himself to sing, and build the lofty rhyme. He must not float upon his watery bier, unwept and welter to the parching wind, without the meed of some melodious tear. Reference: these lines have been taken from the poem Lycidas, composed by one of the greatest English poets, John Milton. Context: in these particular lines, the poet expresses his ideas about his own feeling. He wants to write a pastoral elegy on death of his friend Edward King, who died unfortunately by a shipwreck and he drowned. So he decided to write a pastoral elegy to pay tribute to his friend. Explanation: in these lines, the poet prays the goddesses of poetry, muses, to give him power to write poetry, because he thinks that he is not fully capable of composing it. According to him, he is not yet ripe for writing the poetry for 3 years. So, referring to his own immaturity as a poet, he prays to the muses to give him the power to mourn the death of his friend, which has forced him to write. So he thinks that it is his duty to pay his poetic tribute to his dead friend. Lycidas is dead, and he has died before his maturity, and the young Lycidas could not gain his greatness. In such a situation, it is his duty to write about his peer. He makes a question why he should not write about him. He further thinks about his own death, and he hopes that some future poet might sing after his death in the same way, so it would be his greatest reward. Note: Lycidas, a conventional name for a shepherd, used throughout for Edward King. Now, the next stanza. Begin then, sisters of the sacred well, that from beneath the seat of Jove doth spring. Begin, and somewhat loudly sweep the string. Hence with denial vain, and coy excuse, so may some gentle muse with lucky words favor my destined urn. And as he passes, turn and bid fair peace be to my sable sword, for we were nursed upon the selfsame hill, Feed the same flock by fountain, set, and rill. Reference will be shame. Context. In these lines, the poet re-expresses his own feeling. According to him, death may come any time to anybody. It may come to him. So he has to hope, if he has written poem on death of his friend, it may be possible that on his own death some later poet will write about him. Explanation. The great poet Milton invokes the muses to supply him poetic power. He prays also to the sacred well, which is situated under the Mount Olympus. That is the seat of Jove, that has poetic power. He invokes him to give him some great power so that he may fulfill his duty. He prays that his request should not be denied. Because his aim is good, so he prays to great muses to be kind and give him power of composing poetry. He also hopes if he dies by chance, there will be some poet who will write about him. Then again, the poet thinks about his friend and says how both spent their life on the same hill. He wants to say that both were friends and read in the same university, Cambridge University. It is a style of pastoral elegy to present the natural sight. They had the same attitude and played by some fountain, shade, and rill. These are the natural sights. It is a pastoral convention that has been shown by the poet. Note, Sisters of the Sacred Well means here the Muses. Now, the next stanza of the poem. Together both ere the high lawns appeared, under the opening eyelids of the morn, we drove afield, and both together heard what time the grey fly winds her sultry horn, battening our flocks with the fresh dews of night, off till the star that rose at evening bright toward heaven's descent had sloped his westering wheel. Meanwhile, the rural ditties were not cute, tempered to the oaten flute. Rough satyrs danced and fawns with cloven heel from the glad sound would not be absent long, and old Demoetas loved to hear for song. But the heard our song. Reference will be shame. Context. In these lines, the poet expresses his idea about his friend Edward King and himself. According to him, their lives were happy and both played in their college days and enjoyed songs. Explanation. In these lines, the poet presents a very vivid picture as to how they used to spend their time in the university. Here, he says, before the day broke, they reached at the high lawns and they walked to and fro and heard the melodious music of the wind, and it was like the trumpet, and in the noon time, when it was hot, it was more amusing. As the dew of the night was dried by the heat of the noontime, they played there until the Venus, the evening star, had risen in the night. Giving a pastoral touch to the poem, he says that both wrote poetry together. They also played on flute. 2. In Greek mythology, satyrs are described as smaller deities engaged in light pleasures such as dancing or playing on the flute strings. The Romans confounded them with their fauni, who were half men and half goats with cloven feet and arms. These things are of pastoral convention that has been inherited from Theocritus and Virgil. In old Demoteus, the reference seemed to be to Dr. W. Chapel of Milton's Tutorial Christ's College. The name is common in pastoral poetry and may not have any special significance. So, the poet says that they enjoyed much in the college days. Now, the next stanza. But oh, the heavy change, now thou art gone. Now thou art gone and never must return. The woods and desert caves with wild thyme and the gadding vine over ground, and all their echoes mourn the willows and the hazel corpses green shall now no more be seen, fanning their joyous leaves to thy soft lace, as killing as the canker to the rose, or taint warm to the winling herds that graze, or frost or to flowers that their gay wardrobe wear, when first the white thorn blows, such Lycidas thy loss to shepherd's ear. Context. In these lines, the poet expresses his idea about the loss of his friend Edward King. According to him, Edward King had gone forever and ever, and he would never return. He presents his lamentation on his death. Explanation. Here, the poet says how great a change has occurred in the place. It was full of havoc. The great soul has gone and he would never return to this world. Describing in a pastoral form, he tells that the fellow shepherd who moved frankly in forests, deserts and caves and made many efforts to overcome every problem and struggled for making life happy. But on his loss, every natural sight was mourning. The sights expressed their agony and pain, where there were all greenness and natural sights. They were not seen then. The strange animals also showed their sadness. Now, the natural surroundings were expressing their sorrow. He presents a smile and says, as the canker kills the rose outwardly. Similarly, the natural sights are the cause of great pain. Just as a small red spider, which is very young, dies due to stormy cold weather, in the same way, Lycidas was affected by the thorny blows. Here, two things have been presented. First, the loss of attraction of every common sight. Second, the loss of Lycidas is unfelt by anyone. Now, the next stanza of the poem. Where were ye, nymphs, when the remorseless deep closed over the head of your loved Lycidas? For neither were ye playing on the steep, where your old bards, the famous druids, lie, nor on the saggy top of Mona High, nor yet where Deva spreads her wizard stream. I may fondly dream, and had ye been therefore, that could that have done? What could the muse herself that Orpheus bore, the muse herself for her enchanting son, whom universal nature did lament, when by the rod that made his hideous roar, his glory visage down the stream was sent, down the swift harbors to the Lesbian shore. Reference will be shame. Context: in these lines, the poet John Milton expresses his idea about Lycidas, who was drawn into the sea. Here, he laments over the death of Lycidas. He asks the power of nature why they have not saved him, while they are the guardians of nymph. He also asks the mountains and the rivers why they have not come forward to save their favorite child, Lycidas. Explanation. Here, the poet asks the power of nymphs why they have not come forward to save loving Lycidas, while they possessed all powers to do so. He puts a question: though many natural powers are there, yet why he has not been saved? Here, Milton presents many mythological powers, mostly the steep, which is the mountain Carnarvon's, called Penamin, where many druids were buried. The druids were the minstrel priests and teachers among the ancient Celts of Britain. Mona is the high interior island of Anglesey, which was once the chief haunt of the Welsh druids. The island was once thickly wooded. Deva is the river Dee flowing between England and Wales. It was supposed to be haunted by the magician, who may note that on the river stands Chester, from where Edward King started on his fatal voyage. He says further that he found in dream that though all these powers were there, yet Lycidas could not be saved. They did nothing here. The poet presents a very mythological story that Calliope, the muse of epic poetry and the mother of Orpheus, could not save her son when he was killed by a rout of Thracian women who threw his head into the river Nebras, down which it floated to the island of Lesbos, where the head was buried.